As Rashi points out in Parshas Vayetze, that the word ba, in our pasuk here, for instance, aboyim ba'u, there's a difference in grammar whether or not it's miler'el or milera, on the first syllable of the accent or on the last. If it's on the first syllable, that means it was past. On the next syllable, the second syllable would be present, coming now. So it seems we have a stira, contradiction in this pasuk. The fact that it says at the beginning of the pasuk haboyim, which would mean coming now, and in the end it says ba'u, they already had come. And we know this is after the patira of Yaakov Avinu, they were already in Mitzrayim. So we can say that what the pasuk is telling us, that in certain ways the Bnei Yisrael was as if they were coming in first now. They kept their identity. They were going into the 49 Madregas of Tuma, as the Zohar says, but they still were Zoche at the end to be redeemed, because as the Midrashim say, they kept the three cardinal things with the simen of Shalem, complete, the Shin standing for Shem, the name. They kept their names, the Hebrew names, Lamed Lashon, their language, and Malbush, their clothes. They were identified as Yidden in these respects, even the ones who sank so low. And that's why we can say also it has Yaakov in the pasuk by the path, Ba'u, as if they were already there, assimilated to a great degree, many of them, the lower madrega of Yaakov. But they were still Yaakov, they were still Yidden. They could be identified as being Yidden. Whereas when they first came in, they were Yisrael, the highest level. And then the pasuk says about how Paro, after all the brothers died, Levi, as we know, lived the longest, the Shibbat started in a severe degree, the slavery, the affliction. And we have to ask ourselves, why Paro, having such a people, as we know throughout history, the Yidden contribute the greatest to the country they're in. Because even according to the Torah, our true home is Eretz Yisrael, but wherever we are, we have to be good citizens, as long as they give us, Baruch Hashem, the freedom of religion. And no one can beat, so to speak, the youth, being any better citizen. Dangerous, sometimes they become too much, like we're talking about with the Yidden and Mitzrayim, many of them, the assimilation process. But otherwise, you could be the greatest citizen, law-abiding, contributing, which they did, the economy of Egypt. And yet, the Hitler of that time turns against them and comes up with an idea that they might take over, war against them. Why? We have to understand why. Some of the things we can say would be, for instance, as Rosh Hashiva Shlita points out, that Paro couldn't understand how people who have such great attributes, so intelligent, business savvy, he couldn't believe that they would be good citizens all the time and not want to have the drive to be the rulers themselves, to take over. He thought any other people, himself included, his own people, there would be that desire . But also, he should have understood and saw from the past, from the history of Yosef, how it was. Everyone has Yetzer and Yetzer Hara to go either way. If he couldn't see the other way, and the Yetzer Hara wasn't at work, he wouldn't be taken to task for it. And Rosh Hashiva adds, it really comes down to a medrash of Kehelis Rabbah, an incident with Hadrian Hadronius, that he and a contingent of his officers were passing through a place. People lined up, and as he passed, he was a Jew, didn't bow down to him. Others also weren't bowing down, but he picked on that Jew and said, "Take him away, kill him." They continued. Another Jew saw what happened. He bowed down. And Hadrian says, "Take that Jew, kill him, a nerve to bow down without my permission." And then his officers who are with him question him. He says, "The Jew can't win, no matter what he does. You have a complaint, and you kill him." And he answers them, "Don't tell me how to take care of my enemies." And that's been brought out and shown throughout history. The anti-Semite, the sinner, hatred for the Jew, who caused him to find any kind of means and argument which can be as fallacious as anything to carry out his evil designs. And that's the point here also. We see that the midwives refused to listen to Paro in his decree that they should kill the Jewish males when the women are giving birth. And we see that the midwives, who, as Rashi points out from the Medrash, Shifra and Pua, Yocheved and Miriam, and there's the Mandiyama in the Medrash that says Pua was Elisheva, and in Pasuk Chaf after Sheni, it says that because of this, their willingness to risk their lives in order not to kill the Jewish males, and in fact took care of them, provided for them, because of their love of the people, that Hashem did well with them. gave them good, and the people multiplied and became strong. And the next pasuk says, and it was because they feared Hashem that He gave them batim, houses, which Rashi explains, coming out from them kahuna, leviah, which is Yocheved, and malchus from Miriam. But it's interesting, we see that the good that's mentioned in pasuk chav, it doesn't say that that's the bottom. That's later on. Right after that, that he says, when he gives them good, it is, and the people multiplied and became very strong. And that's exactly what the pasuk is telling us, that the good thing that Hashem gave them is these tzitkanios, true leaders, as all the Gedolim, the leaders of Klal Yisrael throughout history, the love of the people, that is their greatest reward. When they see that their actions help the people to become greater, to increase, that is the greatest wish. That's their whole sacrifice, because of the ava that they have for their people. What better reward for these tzitkanios? That's why the reward that Hashem gives them in the next pasuk is excluding this. Then we see at the time that Bas Paro is going down to the Ur, to the Nile, and as the Medrash explains, this is the time that she was going to do the tefillah for her gerus. She was an unbelievable tzaddikus. Can you imagine giving up, so to speak, willing to sacrifice the royalty that she has, the daughter of the king of the biggest civilization at that time, to become a Yid? In fact, she was one of the 9 people that Masechta Derech Eretz mentions that was zocheh to go into Gan Eden alive. And she is the one who saves the Savior. And the pasuk says that she stretched out her arm to grab Moshe, who was in the basket. And as the Gemara explains, it says that Samosa, that a miracle happened and her arm stretched many amos in order that she should be able to reach Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Rosh Hashiv explains beautifully that we learn a very important lesson from this. The question is, if a miracle was needed in order that she should be able to save Moshe Rabbeinu, and she would have seen that she could not reach him, and yet she stretches her arm and tries her utmost to do it. From this we learn that a person, no matter what the odds, he has to realize that if he's doing the right thing, that Hashem will help him. And that all is required of him is to do his best, his utmost. he or she just has to try the best they can, and Hashem will take care of the rest. We're not relying on a miracle. You don't rely on a miracle. But you do, if you have to do something, and we can even say, in that way, one is permitted to rely on it. If it's for a mitzvah, not to run in front of a truck and say, oh, Hashem will save me. But it's something that should be done, it has to be done. Even though you can't understand, how would I be able to do it? You give it your best. If it is the will of Hashem that this beautiful thing should be done as saving Moshe Rabbeinu, and this tzaddikus tried her utmost, and to fulfill it, it will be done. And actually, the Moshe Zatzal, Darash Moshe, brings out this point in another pasuk of Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha in Parashat Shoftim, that's the way to look at it. For instance, when the Gedolim, after Churban Europe, came to these Midbaros, or Aaron, whatever, and wanted to build up the Torah world, so to speak, again, people said, what are you, crazy? Can't be done, such a place. But they understood that it's supposed to be done. It is a good thing. And you see that Vaday Hashem wants such a thing, a mitzvah, whatever it is. They know that Hashem will help. He's capable of everything, of anything, as we know. The whole universe wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. So if he wills it, no matter what the odds, you will succeed. As the famous story with Rav Kahaneman, who founded the Panovich Yeshiva, and when he was speaking to someone, showing him what he envisioned, and he said, what are you dreaming? And he said, I might be dreaming, but I'm not sleeping. That's a great lesson for all of us, to know that's emunah in Hashem, to know that if you're doing the right thing, you will succeed. But we have to know also that even if it's the will of Hashem, and it's a good thing that we don't succeed for whatever reason, we have to have that chizuk reinforcement. And emunah also, as the Gemara says, Machshava Tova Mitzvarek L'maisa. Machshava, good Machshava, as long as you wanted to do the good thing, and for reasons beyond your control, it did not happen. You did not carry it out. You get the credit for whatever you wanted to do, as if you did it. So therefore, one shouldn't have any reason to stop. As long as they know that no matter what, they get full credit. As if they did it anyway. We also see that of all the names of Moshe Rabbeinu, the one we know him as in the Torah, most common by Moshe, the name that Basparo gave him, because she drew him out from the river. That's the Lashon of Moshe. And as the Mashgiach Tzal was warned to say, as it explains, that this teaches how important it is Hakaras HaTov, appreciation, to give thanks, acknowledgement to someone, anyone who gives you something good, a benefit in any way, which we see also was of course embedded in Moshe Rabbeinu. It says the pasuk before Shlishi, Vayigdal Hayeled, and the pasuk after Shlishi says again Vayigdal Moshe. As Rashi points out, the first one is a physical growing up, and the second is a growing up by the fact that he was appointed to greatness, Gedula, over the household of Paro. And it says that he went out to see the trials and tribulations of his brothers in Israel. So we can ask, is it that beforehand Moshe Rabbeinu didn't look and feel for the Bnei Israel? Of course he did. But the Torah is showing at this time, by pointing it out here, is the fact that we see many times when a person gets into an exalted position, in a position of importance, he's not willing to sacrifice his neck or his position for others. He has the good life. Moshe Rabbeinu could very well be in the next Paro like Yosef. Paro appoints him over his whole household. And yet, it makes no difference to Moshe Rabbeinu. In fact, he'll use it to the utmost for his people, the position in the government. And that's what the Torah is showing us here. That even with this, he still went out and did whatever he could for his people. When the two Yidden are fighting, and Moshe comes and breaks it up, and as we know, these two Yidden are Dotsenbar Viram, and in fact, it was Dotsen, as the Midrashim point out, who was saved by Moshe Rabbeinu, who did mitzvah that he killed to save him, was done for. And yet, these are the ones who cannot stand to have any authority over them. And they threaten and carry out their threat and say to him, who made you an authority, a shofet, judge over us? Think you're going to kill us as you did the Mitzri? And they go, tell Paro, as we know, who decreed they should be executed and be saved by a miracle by Hashem. And we see the Lashon in the Pasuk, Yudalit, where Moshe Rabbeinu is threatened by them, and he says, Ochein no da'adavah, surely the thing, the matter is known. And in the next Pasuk, he says, but Paro heard, Vayishma Paro es ha'davar hazeh, this thing, the switch in the expression, the difference. But I would say pshat would be that Moshe Rabbeinu's expression is Achein noda hadavur. The matter is known, what they will tell Paro, that he's acting like the boss here, and that he killed the Mitzri. And Paro, when he hears it, the expression es hadavar hazeh is telling us that Paro always suspected Moshe Rabbeinu, his great qualities. He felt that there's a danger, just like we explained by all of Bnei Israel, but especially Moshe Rabbeinu, he sees these great leadership qualities, that he might want to take over. But of course, on the other hand, he sees his humility, how good he is. So therefore, it's so to speak dormant, the fears of Paro. And especially when we know about the Medrash, when he was a child, the famous Medrash, he tried to take the crown of Paro, and the test that was given, that's how he became tongue-tied. So the point is that Paro had this dormant fear, so to speak. And now, when he's hearing this report, that's the expression, his hadavar hazeh, this thing that I always feared, I see now, even though, and that's the S also, S is with, there were other factors to counteract it, but now that I hear this report, I say that this is the thing. It is true, my fears, to the exclusion of the other arguments against it. And that's why we can add what the Or HaChaim says, that this, without even checking into the matter, here in trying to investigate other reports, right away he accepted the testimony of these two Rishoyim, and that was good enough for him to carry out the decree. Then we have the incident of the burning thorn bush snare that Moshe Rabbeinu sees, that is burning and is not consumed. As the Mepharshim explained, that the symbolism to this is that just as the Bnei Yisrael are, so to speak, burning in their tzaros, but Hashem is showing that no matter what, they will never be consumed completely. They will always remain, Klal Yisrael will always remain, and the Torah of Hashem, which is brought forth in the world by Klal Yisrael, will always remain. And it also is telling us the fact that Hashem is in this snare, that he is always with Klal Yisrael in their troubles. As the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Imo Anochi Betzara, with him I am in the trouble. And as Rosh Hashiva Shlita points out in Kol Dodi, from the Haftorah of Parshas Nitzavim, from the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Bechol Karatam Lo Tzara, in all their troubles, Lo, there's a Kri and a Ksiv. It is written with an Aleph and read with a Vav, to tell us that Lo Tzara, Hashem also has the trouble, so to speak, when Klal Yisrael has the trouble. He, like a father, is pained also. But also Lo Tzar, not a Tzar. That's to teach us that there's no Tzar for nothing. There's no Tzar that comes for no reason. We have to always realize that it's for our benefit. Whether to be a Kapara, like the Gemara says, Tzadikim Samech Bitzurim, Tzadikim Hasameach, if they have the Yitzurim, because they know it's for their benefit. Me'atzer Shemin shouldn't need this Tzar. But we have to realize, in that way, it is not a Tzar. It is not a Tzar for Tzar itself. The Tzar only benefit us, to make us better. And that's the Me'atzer Shem, which we should always realize and have that emunah to fulfill the will of Hashem, that we shouldn't need any Tzar. Tamid umiata viat olam.